Take out your notes if you would and follow along. Tried to clear off the ice several days this week and just wasn't working. Jean came over the other day to clean and she tried it. And yeah, right after the sun had beaten down on it, it just wasn't working. So be careful going out. But I did speak on Facebook to the Lewises. She wrote and said it was 87 degrees down there in Florida, and she was out in the water and enjoying just being out on the deck. And I told her, "You're missing. That's the same temperature as it was up here in Wellsboro." And she just said, "Ha ha." She didn't believe me. I don't know why, but they got down there safely. They thanked us for their prayers. They said the trip down Tuesday and into Wednesday, they were running into quite a bit of ice and snow or freezing rain. So they did get down there safely. But we're continuing this morning, part 10. In our prophetic clues in the news. And this is something I was putting this series together, and I thought of this particular one because of it's always in the news. We're always hearing things about natural disasters, and it seems like every few weeks we hear something somewhere in the world, a storm, flood, volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. Seem to be hitting, and people are killed, property is destroyed, and thought, does the Word of God have anything to say about all of this? And it does, and we're going to be looking at that this morning. But just so you give an, I put this in the newsletter, just so you have an idea of the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing. I think it's next week we're going to be looking at two of the most overlooked signs in Scripture about Christ's return. And look at those the next week. The following week, Lord willing, this is the plan, is we're going to look at the rapture. And then the last one in our series at this point is we're going to look at what is the mark of the beast. We'll be gone. The rapture will have taken place. And then there's going to be this mark of the beast. So we're going to talk about that in that last one. And then we're going to have just a praise and worship Sunday. Russ did a Sunday school class a few months ago when we sang some of the songs that we've been singing. That Sunday, we're just going to sing a bunch of the old hymns. We'll sing along with, so nobody's going to have to play. We'll put them on, a lot of them with the Gaithers. but we'll just sing a bunch of the old songs, just have a day of praise. And then we're going to have a kickoff. Our next series is going to be on the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And again, that'll be a very fitting time, especially when you talk about those who say that God would not build a wall, have never read Ezra and Nehemiah. So we're going to be, and that's not the reason we're doing that. That's just something I've been thinking about doing. but again, that's be a timely series that we'll be looking at. And then we'll have Easter just soon after we begin that series. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless our time here. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is alive, that as we just sang, there's no power in death, no power in hell, no fear of death, because we have a relationship with you. When our life does end here, we know that it's just beginning there, and we look forward to that. But Lord, we're left behind here for a reason now. We pray, Lord, that we would be your shining light, that others would see Christ in us. And Lord, as it gets darker and darker, may our lights grow brighter and brighter. May we reflect well on you. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand that your word has so much to say about what we see going on. And we've looked at a lot of that as we've looked at Israel, we've looked at Russia, we've looked at all the different things that we've studied in this series that are very clearly spelled out in your word. And today, as we look at this topic that maybe we don't think about too often, being in Scripture, natural disasters are all part of life as well. And we just pray that you'd be glorified in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. People ask quite often, are natural disasters, are they becoming more regular? Are they becoming more common? Are they becoming more deadly? And I put up there, is there an explanation, or are they part of God's wrath being poured out? Some scientists suggest that it's all man-made stuff, that it's all because of climate change, from greenhouse gases, that are warming our planet. they don't seem to explain, though. Scientists say there's less than a 1 degree change in the past 200 years. That's all that there is. Less than one degree change in our temperature since it's been recorded about 200 years ago. So what is going on about this? We were just talking, Ron and Mark and I were talking before the service. Some of you might have heard about this. Anybody heard about the new Green Deal plan? And what Mark said, he heard that it was stupid, but he didn't realize how stupid it was. A lot of Democrats are getting behind this. They want to do away with all fossil fuels. They want to eliminate airplanes, so no longer having airplanes in the sky, we'll be traveling all by train. They want to do away with all cows because cows eliminate gas. This isn't a serious thing, but some of you might have seen this new car that Ford has put out. Ford's getting a lot of kudos because of rolling out the first Green Deal car off their assembly line. I thought that was pretty good. The Flintstone car, that's the only car that would be workable if you follow this Green Deal plan. But what is all this about? It's really unbelievable stupidity, but they believe that humans and animals are producing too much carbon dioxide. And if we can do away with all that, then all the natural disasters in our world are going to come to an end. A couple weeks ago, the beginning of January, we looked at stewardship, and we talked about being stewards of our time and our energy and obviously our resources. I think we're supposed to be stewards of God's planet as well. I think he has left us with a responsibility. We should do everything we can to protect it. But I don't believe the factors in this Green Deal plan have anything to do with what's going on and the calamities we see. There are some Christian scientists, some that are not Christians, are destroying this whole man-made theory of us ruining our planet. They were saying that all of the statistics and all the facts that these ones who come up with, what was his name, the Vice President Gore, all the stuff that he came up with, all their statistics are not factual, whether that's true or not. And they suggest that the whole global warming idea is a man-made theory and not really based in any scientific proof. And I don't know whether you stand on that, but what we're going to talk about today is there an increase in natural disasters? And I don't think what we do has anything to do with it. I really don't. I don't think that what man has done has really gotten anything to do with it. But we're going to talk a little bit about weather. One of the things I said to Gene the other day, I said, they're calling for a lot of rain Saturday into Sunday, and it's supposed to be warm temperatures. That'll get rid of the ice. Well, we talked about this morning, the weatherman was wrong about that. We didn't get any rain. Now, my wife, and I've said this before, my wife is a weather, not so much lately, but a Weather Channel junkie. She has Kevin Williams, if you've ever listened to him on FLM, she has him, she just watches him like he's a star athlete. And she'll watch him and just listen to what he has to say. He has a website that she listens to. And I think weathermen are usually just guessing, aren't they? If they're right 50% of the time, that might be generous. But they base their forecasts on observation, experimental tools, what's happened in the past, the different physical evidences. And they do fit fairly well, but they're nowhere near 100%. I was just reading the other day in Deuteronomy when Moses was telling them, be careful prophets. They said, well, how are we going to know if a prophet's right or not? And they said, if they give you a prophecy and it's not right, they're not from me. Well, you know, our weathermen would not be weathermen if their careers were based on 100% accuracy, because they just don't accomplish that. But we know that all the wind, all the sun, all the stars, all the ocean currents, the entire atmosphere did not evolve. It did not just come into being from a big explosion. That it had a designer. It had a creator. And all nature was created by the God that we serve. The one who had superior intelligence, the one who had great integrity, the one who has great love for mankind is the designer of all of that. Someone said this, our God created the heavens, the earth, the ocean currents, the stars, the jet streams, the cloud formations, mountain ranges, ecosystems, and all that goes into weather. And they go on and they remind us, he sends the gentle rains as a blessing to man, and even the storms that cause flooding. He sends the warm sunny days in the spring and the scorching heat that have caused devastation. And he has promised to send good weather to the nations that obey as well as to those that don't. And we just need to remind or be reminded today that not all bad weather that happens in our world is a punishment because of man's sin. And not all good weather is because we're so good either. God does allow man to reap consequences, I believe, because of our pollution and the things that we're doing. And we're going to look at that in a few minutes. But it's not all man-made. And we're going to be looking at those three things this morning. Number one is that mankind is broken. Mankind is broken. And I don't have this in your notes there, but write down Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9, and it says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" The heart of man is deceitful above all things. It's desperately sick. And I don't think we need to have any time even discussing that. I think we would all agree that man's heart is away from God. Mankind is broken. Christian scientists and theologians have an interesting view of man-made or natural disasters that they aren't man-made. They don't necessarily agree that they are increasing. They don't believe that they're getting worse, that they really have been around since the beginning of time. Ravi Zacharias writes this, "Natural events in themselves are not bad. They only become a disaster when people die." That makes sense. But we're going to go on to explain that a little bit. But Ravi Zacharias is one of the most brilliant men. If you've ever read him, he's an amazing, he's an Indian man, but just an amazing, amazing mind. And he has a lot to say about some of this, and we're going to be quoting some of these things. But our view is that what we're looking at today is that natural disasters by themselves, in and of themselves, are not necessarily bad. They existed from the fall, and they're going to continue to exist. I don't mean the fall weather. I mean the fall of man. But the impact of the fall has certainly made mankind more vulnerable to what goes on in the world. This is again, some different people discussing it. I don't have all their names written down. Robbie's part of it. We'll quote Billy Graham here in a few minutes. But they point out that man is broken, but that fall has led to some interesting things that perhaps, and they said, perhaps earlier humans were equipped to see a dangerous event coming. Perhaps before we got so involved in sin and in ourselves, this dangerous event, perhaps Adam and Eve could see. Maybe there were storms in the garden. They're not saying there were. They're not saying there aren't. They're not saying that storms and wind and rain, obviously rain came at flood, but storms and wind and things like that were possibly around before the fall. And perhaps Adam and Eve could know when it was coming. That's their point. But our broken relationship with God has marred our ability to see those things coming. The fall did not necessarily change nature, but the fall changed man and made him more vulnerable to nature. They go on and they say that animals have an intrinsic nature of being able to see and predict the weather. they say that before a tsunami hits on an island, that the cows go to higher ground. The animals go to higher ground. Before storms, birds grow quiet. And I've had friends who were able to say that. Just say, listen, do you hear them? A storm's coming. I'm not good with that. Some people are good, seeing the hairy caterpillars make the winter going to be, how does that, do you remember what that term is? Is it the hairy caterpillars may in the fall make it's going to be a severe winter? Is that, do you remember that? Anybody ever? The woolly things, yeah. So, and there's people who can read that type of thing. I'm not gifted in that, but they say these animals are good at predicting things. But the point here that Ravi and these people make is that mankind is broken and has inhibited us in our ability to read what's coming in nature. But there's a second point also. And it's the fact that there's sin and injustice in our world. And they go on and they give some statistics about different things that have happened around our world. And the magnitude of death and injury is elevated in these countries that are still developing and are not as developed as America. Listen to this. The death toll in Asia after the tsunami in 2004 was in the hundreds of thousands because many were living in poverty and they were living on beaches. Landslides kill far more people in these underdeveloped countries because of their lack of infrastructure and their lack of money to put up good homes. Earthquakes in developing countries are far more devastating than they are because their places are not built to withstand such things. And all these theologians are pointing out, just because a country is underdeveloped does not mean that that they're any worse off than us. But sin has taken a toll in those countries. America might be a little bit more dignified, if you want to call it that, because we've had the Word of God around us. That's what these theologians are saying. I'm not trying to argue theology with you, but this is what a lot of Christians are saying, that because of sin and because of inequality, a lot of these nations are suffering. Here's some statistics from Robbie Zacharias. Comparing the two earthquakes, the 1989 earthquake in California, remember that was during the World Series, and remember watching the World Series just before it got started, the earthquake hit in Los Angeles and Oakland. 57 people died. 2010 earthquake in Haiti, 230,000 people died. Robbie Zacharias says this, although people are not generally responsible, let me read the whole quote, are not responsible for the natural event itself, poverty and injustice caused by human greed and folly undoubtedly add to the death toll. What are we saying in all that is that because man has fallen, because man has left God so far in the back, and that affects underdeveloped nations more than it does us, these people are suffering because of human greed, because of folly, because of sin. So we start off by saying that mankind is broken. We see that in the Word of God. The heart is desperately wicked. Turn back, if you would, excuse me, to Genesis chapter 3. And we'll go there in just a moment, but we ask that, and I tried to find what they were talking about with as far as pollution and all the different things that are going on in the world, and we'll talk about that in just a minute as we get to this one. Nature is broken. Nature is broken. Let me read Genesis chapter 3. This is the fall of man. In verse 17, God said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So nature is broken. Mankind is broken because of our sin. Nature has been cursed because of man's sin as well. Now, nature is not the sinner. And Robbie Zacharias said this. I love this quote. When people talk about natural disasters, but they don't believe in God, he said, if God doesn't exist, then it's all natural, and there are no disasters. You understand what he's saying here? People who say that there is no God, or they don't believe that God is good, or they don't believe that God is ever present in his world, Robbie Zacharias says, in that case, everything just happens by course. It's just a disaster. It's a natural thing because you say there is no God. You can't blame God when there is no God. If there's no supernatural dimension, then we're left with this again, Ravi talking, we're left with this closed box of atoms and molecules and physical forces. Earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, all those storms are just simply the outworkings of the law of nature, if there is no God. Cause and effect and probability are really out the window because there's no really anyone back there or behind it, backing it up. There is no God with a design. And Robbie Zacharias says this, the fact that we raise these very questions points us to God, not away from him. The very fact that people are saying, where is God? Why does God allow such things to happen? Why would God allow this disaster to happen in Haiti? When we were in Corne, our church up there sent a group several years in a row to Haiti. And I know we were here when that store or that one hit in 2010, but a bunch of our friends were getting ready to go, I think several weeks after that storm hit, and their trip was canceled. They went back over the months after that, and they were just talking about the devastation that hit, and they couldn't understand it, and people were questioning, didn't God care? Doesn't God care about poor primitive people like that? God does care. And Robbie says, when we question it, it's pointing us to him, not away from him. So what is a natural disaster? First, we need to understand what things are not natural disasters. Famine, war, diseases such as AIDS and cancer are not natural disasters. Someone pointed out migration of refugees fleeing from the oppressive government are not a natural disaster. They might have consequences, but they are not a natural disaster. But a natural disaster is a large-scale event caused by, by physical mechanisms in the natural world and includes earthquakes, flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, and tsunamis. Again, I'm not bright enough to know all this. This is from research and found it in several different places, as well as some things that Ravi Zacharias wrote that caused me to do some other research. But they make a point that Ravi says, it's an amazing thing that there's even life on Earth to begin with. The fact that we have life on this planet points to a God who created and a God who loves us. Ravi says this, it's important to remember that although natural events occur, the extent to which they occur on Earth is within boundaries so that life is possible. The boundaries that God put on the planet Earth make life possible. And then this is from Ravi, but from some different other people as well. Other planets such as Venus possess hundreds of volcanoes, and volcanic plains cover 85% of its surface. Neptune and Jupiter have storms that make ours look tiny by comparison and call for a redefinition by humans for the term extreme weather. On Earth, the most powerful hurricane is a Category 5, and it may reach 249 kilometers per hour. On the planet of Jupiter, they are as strong as 400 kilometers per hour. And Jupiter, and I didn't know this, I did find this, Jupiter is well known for a great red spot, a large permanent cyclone 20,000 kilometers long and 12,000 kilometers wide, larger than two Earths put together. And they consume storms that are much smaller, and they have been around for at least 400 years. One storm on Jupiter has been around for at least 400 years. On Venus and Jupiter and every other planet we know of, life as we know it is unattainable. When we consider the planets around us, our weather conditions and temperature lie within such narrow limits that it is incredible that we exist at all. It's incredible that we exist at all, but God is good. God has kept us safe. They go on and they point out that natural events have added much beauty to our world. Yes, mankind has fallen. Nature is broken. But they go on and they just talk about how these tsunamis and storms and earthquakes do so much good. Geophysicists would say that some of the things that have been left behind by natural events adds just to the things that we enjoy in our nature. Some of you like to ski. They say the mountains that we climb up in summer and ski down in the winter, to get together with the ocean trenches, are formed by the riding up and down of tectonic plates against each other over time. In other words, if there's things here that are man-made or are nature-made that we love, that we enjoy. The streams and things that we like outside are part of natural disasters. Molten lava from volcanoes have cooled and have allowed terrain to form. Land masses such as the Hawaiian Islands were formed this way. This isn't evolutionists talking. These are Christian scientists saying this is what's happened because of natural disasters. These disasters also benefit life. Floods bring nutrients to the ground. Volcanoes, and I thought this was interesting, volcanoes not only fertilize the earth, but they provide channels for excessive pressure from the gas inside the earth to escape. They said without natural disasters, the world could explode from within. But God designed all of that to sustain life. It's an amazing God that we have. It's an amazing God that we look at stuff and we say it's a disaster. You know, people are dying. But Robbie said it's not a disaster until some people die. The things that are going on in our world are part of God's plan. And that brings us to number three, is that God's love is not affected. Yes, mankind is broken. Yes, nature is broken. But God is always good. Billy Graham was asked this. Are natural disasters part of God's judgment? He said, yes, God can certainly use natural disasters to speak to us, just as he uses other difficulties and tragedies to turn our hearts toward him. So Billy Graham is saying, yes, natural disasters can be part of God's judgment for us. And these disasters can cause us to do a couple of things. One is to remember the brevity of life. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction. That's Isaiah. We need to understand that when we see things like that happening, God is just pointing out how quickly life can end, how quickly life can be over, and how we have no control over it. We can't control the wind. I can't stop a tsunami. I can't prevent an earthquake. Wasn't that long ago, Cameron called us from California just over a couple months ago, and he said he didn't feel it, but his roommates felt it. A pretty severe earthquake out in California. And I tell him, I said, if that's where you're going to live, that's one of the things you're going to have to put up with. But just shows us how quickly life can be over. But disasters can also help us learn to help one another. That was one of the things that the church in Corning was so excited about returning to Haiti for, is they wanted to find out some of their friends that they had met the previous year, over the previous 2 or 3 years, and they wanted to see how they were doing. And they wanted to take some things. They had a special offering in the church to go and help people who were hurting, people who lost their homes, people who couldn't get food, people who couldn't get water. Samaritan's Purse does this every time there's a natural disaster in our world. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We don't necessarily know why God allows these disasters to come. We don't know why they take place. But the time to prepare for a crisis now in our world is now. We don't wait until a storm hits to prepare. We don't wait till they strike. And we need to understand, as we look at the world around us, and maybe you've never been to Haiti, I've never been, but I've been to Nigeria, I've been to Brazil, I've been to Jamaica, and some of these places where poverty is everywhere. The spiritual condition of humanity has impacted the whole world. Some nations see it, and I believe that's one of the things that God's going to do when he judges America, is judge us for our wealth and judge us for how much that we have that the world doesn't have. But God told Adam that the ground was going to be cursed because of what he did. And we need to understand that stuff that happens in our world is all part of God's plan. We can't blame God because people suffer. Can natural disasters still be part of God's plan? I think they can be, but I think we need to be careful that we don't blame every storm, every tsunami, every earthquake, every time someone's killed in a different part of the world or even here in America. We've got to be careful that we don't blame it all on God. Let me read this passage to you. because there are Christians who would say, oh yeah, that God sent the tsunami to Haiti because the people were primitive and they still worship false gods, and they have all kinds of magicians there who turn their back on God and just do Satan worship. Jesus asked this question. He said, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. See, the Tower of Siloam had collapsed, and all these natural disasters happened. And Jesus was asked, is that because those people sinned? And Jesus said, no, you need to understand, I'm giving you an opportunity to turn to Christ. And as we see the news reports, we see disasters falling around us, we need to come with this proper perspective that others are suffering, but they need the Lord. More than their physical well-being, they need a spiritual healing. And it's come to remind us how brief life is, but how much we can do to help other people. Listen to what God says at the end. Here he says, for a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of birth pains. In other words, it's just starting out. If you've had a child, women, you know that the first little pain in your stomach is not the end. You've got a lot more to go through. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, it's just the beginning of birth pangs. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will rise and will lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. That's all in Matthew chapter 24. There's going to come a point in time when the destructive forces unleashed on the earth are going to grab man's attention finally. God himself has warned that these events are just the beginning of what's to come. But it is all from the hand of God. So are natural disasters part of God's judgment? I think natural disasters are part of God's warning. They can become part of the judgment of God. But that's not going to be his final destruction. All those things, the earthquakes, the famines, the things that we see going on in our world right now are part of prophecy. And it's just the beginning of things getting much, much worse. Is man getting this message, do you think? We're going to talk about that over the next couple of weeks, that we're not seeing a great turning to Christ in America. But around the world, they're seeing great harvests of souls. Muslims are coming to Christ in unprecedented numbers. People in these countries that we talked about, in Haiti, in these more underdeveloped nations, are turning to Christ because they have nothing else to hope in. Americans have so much given to them. Americans have so much that we take for granted that, as we said last week, perhaps God has turned his back on our nation, or at least starting to remove his hand. But let's let these things, as we see about a natural disaster happening in our world, let's cause us to pray and maybe even be willing to go to a world that needs to hear Christ, to a country that maybe doesn't have the word of God in their language. Perhaps God's calling you to do something more than just pray. Perhaps more than just give. Perhaps God's calling you to get involved in some way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the fact that we see that the world is messed up. We know that mankind is broken. We know that nature is broken, not because of its sin, but you cursed it because of our sin. And Lord, we understand that the earth was so perfectly designed by you, but because of our choice to fall and to rebel against what you said, you cursed the ground because of us. And Lord, we're reaping that. And we're seeing some of the things that are taking place in our world. And perhaps Billy Graham is right. Perhaps some of those things that we see are part of your judgment on man. But Lord, help it to motivate us to understand how short life is. And Lord, help us to be more involved in giving to people out of the abundance you've blessed us with. And we pray above all things, Lord, that we would pray. We would pray for the lost, that they would turn to you. We would pray for those who are suffering. We don't know when the next big disaster is going to hit, but we know it's going to happen. We know that there'll be an earthquake or a volcanic eruption or something happen in the next probably week or so, or next month anyway. Lord, help us to know how to pray. And help us be concerned for their physical well-being. But Lord, more importantly, help us be concerned for people's spiritual relationship with you. And help us to love people to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.